The passage of the scriptures which I believe the Lord would have us consider this morning is a very brief paragraph, a very familiar paragraph, but it is a paragraph in the scriptures that deals with, I believe, the greatest problem we're facing right now, the last month of school. You know what it is. This passage deals with what I believe is the greatest problem that Columbia Bible College is facing now as an institution of Christian education. This passage presents very clearly and gives an answer to the greatest problem you seniors are going to face when you leave here. The greatest problem you're going to face the rest of your lives as you live and serve the Lord Jesus. And I do feel in my own heart that the problem dealt with in this passage is the greatest need in the body of Christ today. It's the problem you're facing now, between now and the end of school. It's the problem we at Columbia Bible College are facing as we seek God's plan for this institution. The greatest problem you'll face as you get out in the battle. The greatest need in the body of Christ, as I understand it. The passage is found in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. If you'll turn with me, I'll read it. You follow carefully as I read, then we will try to find the problem and see how it applies to us, and then wait before God for his answer to this problem. You're facing it very severely. You're being seriously tempted with this problem right now. So are we as an institution. So am I as an individual. I don't know any problem that has thrown me so severely as this problem in my own life and ministry. Luke 10, beginning verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. Do I find anyone here like that? Martha, Martha. Oh, sometimes I thought I wished, though I'm sure I don't, that these were two men rather than two women. Because I do believe we men perhaps are more tempted in this than the women. Oh, Martha, Martha. Thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Wonder how many of you sense the problem of this passage. It's the greatest problem you'll face, I say again. Do you sense the problem of this passage? This is the problem. You know Martha, and you know Mary. There are many Marthas around here, and there are many Marys around here. They're not all girls. There are many Marthas. Martha was very, very aggressive. She was always running. I'll not take time to analyze her with a personality schedule. But you know her. Always active, always running, always got to get things done. And Mary, always sitting, and always meditating, and always waiting. And when you get two like Mary and Martha in the same house, same room, is there a problem? I've got to get things done, but she just sits. And when two like that get married, that's the problem. Do you know any Marthas around here? Always doing something, always getting something done. There's Mary over there just sitting and thinking and, well, maybe meditating, but never sweeping the floor. That's the problem. May I ask you carefully, do you think that's the problem of this passage? That is a problem. That's not the problem here. No, it's deeper than that. It has to do with this. I'll tell you, this is what hits you between the eyes when you read this passage. It is now 6:30 and dinner was planned for 6. We've invited the Lord Jesus to eat with us. It's our responsibility to get this meal ready. The roast was frozen and I couldn't get it on in time. And of all, if this doesn't hit you, and here's Martha doing what must be done, and here's Mary sitting there doing nothing. Here's the problem. It's wrapped up in one little word. It's a beautiful word. It's only used this one time, as I understand it, in the New Testament. A beautiful word. And here's the need. Martha says, tell her to come and help. Come and help. Come over and help me. And that beautiful, beautiful word gives you a picture something like this. It's a compound word. It's several ideas tied together. And it gives you the idea of this, that one person takes hold of your end of the line along with another. You see, that's an awful problem among those who have received Jesus Christ into the house, because we on the faculty, especially from now until the end, we will just sit and watch you squirm. You're the one who's got the heavy end of the law. And I'm sure there's some who are sitting here this morning who are saying, if somebody just indicated that they even wanted to come in and help me. Carry, help me carry this log. Sometimes David gets a little upset about going to school, and I say, well, David, I have to go to school, too. And he says, yeah, but you don't have to do anything but stand up in front and fuss at the students. I wonder how many of you sense there are in our group, I know, some who are about to sink. And if you had only somebody to stand alongside and get hold of the log and help, or somebody come and help me. I tell you, that's a deeper need than these little personality differences. Anybody here is about to go under for the third time, and you call it, calling out, somebody help, help. Nobody seems to care. Do you think that's what God wants among those who have received Jesus Christ into the house? Oh, no. Come over and help us. That's a real need among the people of God. May I tell you, that's not the problem of this passage? It's deeper than that. You know what it is? It's tied up in one word that is used to describe Martha. And I tell you again, I don't know any problem that has thrown me as consistently as this. Here's the word that's described as it describes Martha. Look at verse 40. Here's what it says about Martha. And here's the problem. I'll tell you, it's a problem, and it's threatening you now. It'll threaten you when you get out. And if you don't find an answer to it, I don't know what the end will be. Here's the end. Here's the problem. Look at verse 40 as he describes Martha. She has received Jesus Christ into the house. The problem is not basically their relationship to Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They've received him in that sense. But now watch what he says about Martha. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. May I suggest you tear open that little word, cumbered. Martha was cumbered. It's in the footnote or in the margin, it's translated distracted. Martha was distracted. And as you get down into the root of the word, it indicates something like this. The root meaning of the word is simply to draw away. It's to draw irresistibly, as when your arm or any other part of your body has a spasm. It's the same word from which the English word spasm comes. It's drawn irresistibly. Martha is cumbered. She's drawn irresistibly. She's drawn irresistibly. She's drawn about. You know what it means? By many things. Now, I suggest this as I understand the problem with Martha. Here's what's happened. If you were to ask Martha this, Martha, do you think it is important for us to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and hear his word? You know what Martha would have said? Martha, do you think that's important to sit at Jesus' feet? Why, sure. That's the most important thing in the world. That's indispensable. Now watch. Martha, do you think getting this meal is important? Why, sure. Listen. That is just as important as this. May I present to you this morning what God has been driving into my own soul? That's the problem. Look at it. Is it important to see Jesus Christ and to study the Word of God? Sure, it's important. It is also important, and just as important, to get this meal ready. And Martha now is being drawn at least into two things which she places on the same level. Important to have Jesus Christ? Sure, that's important. I wouldn't let anybody. But this is also important. This is indispensable. This is also indispensable. I want to tell you, there are many of us right here today, and it'll get worse and worse until June 1st, who are being drawn. Yeah, that's important, but so is this. This is indispensable, but I can't get on without this. May I present to you as soon, the split second, in your heart, you have two things on the same level with Jesus Christ. You've got a serious problem. That's Martha's problem. And I want to tell you, it's so subtle. So subtle. Let me show you how subtle it is. You think it's important to listen to the Lord Jesus? Sure it's important. But look at this. Do you think it's necessary to fix this meal? Why, we've invited the Lord Jesus here. Why, sure, we must. And it's so subtle, so reasonable, I'll guarantee you this. And I've been through this road. I'll guarantee you this. It is so reasonable that no man can talk you out of it. If you think you can talk Martha out of this, that it is not indispensable, it is not necessary for her to go and fix that meal, it's so reasonable you couldn't begin to talk her out of it. I know. When I came here to teach some years ago, this is exactly my approach. I had gone through Columbia Bible College. I'd been out in the ministry, and I knew what it was to go through the battle of studying social sciences at the University of Chicago. I know what the battle was. And God had given me something that I thought nobody else had ever seen, and I came to this place with this clear in mind. Jesus Christ, absolutely indispensable. The Word of God, absolutely infallible and absolutely necessary.
But this also is necessary.
If you're going to be an effective servant of Jesus Christ, you've got to know Jesus Christ. You've got to know the Word of God.
But you've also got to know psychology and anthropology.
That's the way it was. You think any of the members of the faculty could talk me out of that?
Not one.
It was so reasonable, I looked around. Sure, you've got to have psychology. Every man I ever saw that God used, he had psychology,
including Dr. McCrookin. Dr. McCrookin used to drop loving hints. You think he could ever talk me? Of course not. He hadn't been to the University of Chicago.
When a man on this place who could reason me out of that position, and I want to tell you, young people, there's not a person here, not a man here that can reason you out of that position. It sounds so reasonable. What, doesn't a woman in charge of a house have to fix the meal? Well, sure she has to fix the meal. You can prove that in court. And so you can reason yourself around these things. Now watch.
Watch it.
Listen. Listen. Of course you have to meet Jesus Christ. Of course you have to have your devotions. But do you not also have to study?
Tell me, yes or no.
All right. Well, who ever heard you just try to pass my course without study? Now, that's the easiest one on the place. Many of you are doing it. But you try to get through an educational... of course, you can reason yourself till you're so convinced there's not a man here who can convince you otherwise that Jesus Christ is necessary, but it's also necessary to study.
Yeah. Cumbered about.
Well, you think, boy, this is nice. We won't have to study anymore.
All right, listen. The moment you say Jesus Christ is necessary, and some of you came to this prayer day with this.
Yes, it's necessary, but we've got to study. And I was just getting ready, getting warmed up for that last push.
And now we've got to have a prayer day. I can't study. Because down in your soul, you're cumbered about. And you're putting studies like here with Jesus Christ. Are they not necessary? Indispensable? Just like Jesus Christ. You're cumbered about. Some of you thinking like this.
Sure, you have to know Jesus Christ and the Word of God, but you also have to have good methods, preaching. I've got to go somewhere where they'll teach me to preach. Teach me to teach. Of all the ridiculous things to think of going out to preach and never being taught to preach. Going out to teach and never having 18, 20, 30 hours of education.
Well, of course you wouldn't send a man out to preach without professional training to preach. You've got to have methods. What you're doing. Jesus Christ? Yes. Methods indispensable. You've cumbered about. And I could go on and on down the list. You ask God to put his finger where there is another like that. The thing that scares me, listen, young people, I've been through, see, I'm not talking theory, I've been through this. The thing that scares me about this awful problem is this. It's not only so reasonable. You can build up a case against which no man can shoot holes in. What scares me to death is this, because it sounds so reasonable. But you know what the end of it is? It'll always be this. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know what'll happen? Inevitably, if you have two that you put like this, you'll end up with only one. And you know which one it'll be. Always. You have to today. It's not just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. If you persist in that, it's just a matter of time until you'll end up with only one. That's all. It's inevitable. Because you cannot serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you'll cleave to one and ignore the other. You cannot serve two masters. May I suggest to you that's the problem with Martha, serving two masters. A savior in the kitchen. You're facing the problem now. We're facing it at Columbia Bible College as an educational institution. You'll face it when you go out. And the body of Christ so desperately needing something like this. So distracting. Oh, I'm so glad I have an answer. You know what the answer is to a distracted Christian? Turn to verse 41. We'll see God's answer. Verse 41. Oh, if the Lord could just speak clearly to any distracted heart as he has begun to speak. And my prayer this morning is not primarily for you, but for myself, that God will teach me as never before this lesson. Here's what he says. Here's the answer to this. This is God's word. Listen carefully. Verse 41. But the Lord answered and said unto her, O Martha. Do you get the word here? Martha, Martha. Phillips has paraphrased it, Martha, my dear. I believe that's what's suggested here. When the Lord says, Martha, Martha, oh dear Martha. You feel what's in his heart? Oh, Martha, Martha. Martha, my dear, thou art anxious. Thou art torn apart inside. May I just tell you, the human soul was not made for many things. It'll tear it apart. Just as soon as you put two things before you, two masters, your inner soul will be torn apart. It was not made for many. Martha, Martha, thou art torn apart inside, and you're tearing apart outside. Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. Now, here's God's answer. Oh, may he ring it in our hearts today. No, young people, especially you seniors, don't ask God if this be true. Don't ever let you miss it. Don't ever let you forget it. Here's God's answer. Listen. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. Not two, not three, not many. One thing is needful. You mean I don't have to study? Listen, you'll not misunderstand because I'm not through. No, you don't have to study. Oh, you mean I don't have to use human reason? No, you don't have to use human reason. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. You mean I don't have to learn methods? You don't have to learn methods. One thing is needful. One thing. One thing. No, I tell you, it'll bring the soul to rest because the soul was made for one thing. One thing. I'll guarantee you, if you're distressed, torn apart inside, it's because you have two masters. You cannot serve two masters. It'll tear you. The soul was made for one. And Jesus says this loving word to us this morning. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. No, we can rest through the day and rest through the rest of this semester and rest through the rest of your life and service and rest through all eternity in the one thing that's needful. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Well, I'll go back up into verse 39. You'll see it. Mary. She had a sister called Mary who also... Now, there's a little word that the exegetes are not sure what it implies, but it could be this. You see, Mary with Martha had received Jesus into her house, and Mary also She not only received him into the house, but Mary also sat at his feet and continued to hear his word. Here's the first thing, the one thing, that's all it is. And Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. You know what that means? Do you know what it means when it says Mary sat at his feet? I think you can see more clearly what it means if you'll see the contrast between Mary and Martha. Do you know what she did? Listen to what Martha did. Go back up into verse 40. This is what Martha did. As you see the contrast, I think it'll make crystal clear. It'll make it shine like a diamond against a black background when you see what Martha did. And what I've done so often, what many of you are doing now. You know what Martha did? Listen to what Martha did. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, as the first thing she did. Martha came up to him. You know what that word means? Came up to him. That word simply means something like this, and she burst into his presence. It's explosive. And here's the Lord Jesus over here dealing with Mary, talking to Mary. And here's Martha, bursting into his presence, not even the common respect. She bursts into his presence. But Mary sat at his feet. I wonder how many of you have ever burst into the presence of the Lord Jesus. I don't know how many times this wretched heart of mine, as I come over a few minutes before my 8 o'clock class, I burst into the presence of the Lord Jesus. But Mary sat at his feet. That's not all Martha did, but she exploded right into his presence. And then it says this. She said, Lord, dost thou not care? She questioned the love and concern of Jesus Christ. But Mary sat at his feet. Do you not care? Don't you care? Apparently you don't care that I'm working myself to the bone back in the kitchen. You don't care anything about it. She questions the love of the one who's her guest. The last thing she does, listen to this. Dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her. You know what Martha's doing? She's ordering the Lord Jesus around. Not only not the common respect, she questions his love, and now she's telling him what to do. You tell Mary to come. Listen, Mary sat at his feet. Do you know what it means to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Listen, apparently Martha had forgotten who he was, who he is. And in the busy rush of these days, so easy to forget who he is. Do you know who this one was whom they had received gladly into their house? Do you know who he was? I'll tell you who he was. Listen. He's the one who sometime before, even the holy angels, when they went into his presence, would cover their face with their wings. And here Martha bursts into his presence. The angels feared to go into his presence and had to cover their face with their wings. And she bursts into his presence. You know who he is? He's the one who was equal with God not long before and had the equality of God, his own right, and all the worship and glory of heaven, and voluntarily chose to give it up and become a slave, become a human being, worse, infinitely worse than if you would be incarnate as an ant. And he became a slave because he cared. It's not going to be long until he's going to that awful cross because he cares. And then Martha says, you don't care. And Mary sat at his feet. Mary sat at his feet. You know who he is? He's the sovereign God. And here Martha telling him what to do. But Mary sitting at his feet. Beloved, listen, one thing is needful. Sit at his feet. I'm not talking about a little, well, you know what, I'll skip everything else. I'm talking about sitting before a risen, exalted Son of God, sitting at his feet in loving, absolute submission before him. That's all that's needed. You mean I don't have to study? You mean I don't have to use methods? You mean I don't have to use human reason? One thing is needful. Only one. And she sat at his feet and listened. Pour the sins chilled up and down my back and heard his word, continued to hear his word. That's not just quote a little Bible verse. Do you know what she heard? Oh, if I only knew what Mary was hearing from the lips of the Lord Jesus. The same one who earlier, generations before, about whom it says, and God said, let there be light, and it was so. And she sat and heard his words. That's all that's needed, to hear his word. I like to let my imagination run and just imagine what would have happened if Mary and Martha had sat at his feet. Before Jesus came that day, I can imagine Martha saying, Mary, the Lord is coming tonight. We'll plan for supper at 6. But oh, it'll be good to have him with us. I'll fix it. We'll work together and we'll have supper right at 6. And then we'll have the rest of the evening. Can you imagine what would have happened? Listen. The Lord Jesus arrives at 5:00. And Mary and Martha go and sit at his feet. And hear his word. 6:00 comes. They're still sitting at his feet, hearing his word. 7:00 comes, still sitting at his feet. 8:00, 9:00. Do you know what the Lord Jesus might have said? Do you think he knows anything about feeding people? Do you? You know what he might have said? He might have said something like this. Listen. And when even was come, the disciples came to him, saying, the place is desert, and the time is already past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said unto them, they have no need to go away. Oh, young people, you have no need to go away. I'm not talking about the Bible college. Leave as soon as you can. But you have no need to go away from Jesus Christ. Oh, but I've got to make a living. No, you don't have to make a living. I don't need to go away. They have no need to go away. Give ye them to eat. Listen to this. He says later the same thing. Listen. And Jesus called unto him his disciples and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I would not send them away fasting, lest haply they faint on the way. And the disciples said unto him, whence should we have so many loaves in the desert place to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and brake, and gave to the multitude, and they all ate. Listen, do you think the Lord Jesus would ever have said anything about food? Oh, I would love to. He could have worked a miracle. Martha cumbered about, I've got to get this meal ready. No, no. I have an idea it could have been this way. At 9:00, the Lord Jesus might have said, Martha, would you like something to eat? Well, Martha said, I don't. Not specially. You would. Mary, would you like something to eat? It doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus said, well, let's go back in the kitchen. I want to tell you, with Jesus in the kitchen, in a split second, All that Martha spent all afternoon fussing about could have been done. They would have had a marvelous meal together. You know what it means to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word? Listen, do you think he'll ever say anything to you about studying? Oh, he doesn't know anything about studying. I'm not joking. That's the way some of you are thinking. Jesus doesn't know anything about studying, especially studying the courses around here. Does Jesus know anything about studying? Follow what he did for a fisherman one day. He's not a fisherman, he's a carpenter, even humanly, carpenter. The disciples out there, and he says to them, throw your net over here. And they said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Does that fit anybody? Studied all semester and caught nothing. Listen, I'm not joking. Does Jesus Christ know anything about studying? He doesn't know anything about fishing. I can imagine those fishermen. Who is he telling us how to fish? He's a carpenter. Even that knows nothing about fishing. But at thy word, I let the net down. And it pulled up more than it could. You think Jesus Christ knows anything about methods? Do you think Jesus Christ knows anything about preaching? Listen, do you think Jesus Christ knows anything about the human reason why he made it? And I sit at his feet and hear his word. That's all that's needed. Let me close with this. Listen carefully. You know what will happen to an individual? I'm not giving you any magic. It'll get you out of a miserable hole and get all A's when you should get all F's. But I'm simply telling you this. That this is the way it'll work. Your soul was not made for two masters. It was made for one. And when I have one thing is needful, one thing is needful, and when I have that, one thing, to sit at Jesus' feet and to get my directions, to get my everything from him, my methods from him, my reasoning from him, my everything from him. Watch. When I have one thing, that one thing, listen, it won't be long until you have all that you need. If you have two things, it won't be long until you'll have only one. If you have one thing, it won't be long until you'll have all. But may I just tell you faithfully, you will not have all that you want. In the matter of scholarship, academic standards, reasoning, you'll not have it. It's not God's way. But I'll guarantee you, you'll have what you need. One thing is needful. And Mary sat at his feet and continued to hear his word. In closing, let me show you the secret. Do you know how to get this? The Lord shows us very clearly how you can get to the place where there's just one thing is needful. It says here very simply, Mary hath what? Chosen that good part. Mary hath chosen that good part. That's all. And as we close this morning, will you renew this? For some of you, it has been a battle. Some of you are putting, actually, something else alongside Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we wait before him for this one thing that is needful, I'll choose. It's not this and this. It's not this and this. I'll choose Jesus Christ forever and to sit at his feet and hear his word. Having chosen that, listen to what Jesus said. And Mary chose that good part which shall not be taken from her. Shall not be taken from her. Let me close by putting this in your heart. Listen. If this is so, if one thing is needful, and you have the one thing that is needful, then QED. If one thing is needful, and you have one thing, this one thing, the inevitable conclusion is what? I now have
I need. Do you? That's all there is.
You can reason yourself in circles. You can prove it in court. And still it'll seem right to you, and it'll end in the ways of death. There's one thing needful. And when I choose that one thing that is needful, I have all that I need. The Lord Jesus knows how to write term papers. He knows how to write theses. He knows how to handle the human reason. He knows more about scholarship and reason than the world put together will ever know. One thing is needful, to sit at his feet and hear his word. May we do this not only today, but for the rest of our lives. And you'll have all you need. Shall we bow now in prayer? Just a moment of silence before him. Let's remember who he is. He's not a teacher at Columbia Bible College. He's not a man as we are. The issue really is not between faith and reason. The issue is between me and Jesus Christ. Shall we unitedly from our hearts choose this good part? Not only for today, God does give us this day in a special way to sit at his feet and to hear his word. But this is to be our life. This is to be an educational institution. This is to be a mission society. This is to be a preacher. This is to be a scholar sitting at his feet and hearing his word. This is life. This is all there is. This will be for us all we need. If there's any possibility that it could be as significant as I feel it is, let's ask the Lord to teach us this, that one thing is needful. And Mary chose this good part, and it shall not be taken away. Will you choose it? For some of you, it will mean a very serious decision. Father, in this closing moment, we would bow before thy beloved Son. Thou hast exalted him already. Thou hast determined that he shall be preeminent in all things. He's worthy of this. Together we just bow before him. We would fall at his feet, not in some little emotion, but with a choice of our will, we fall at his feet. As we know our hearts for the rest of our lives, we want nothing else than this good part. And we do pray that in thy mercy it shall never be taken away from any of these. Lord, keep them, we pray, for Jesus Christ. We commit the rest of this day to thee. As we sit at thy feet, wilt thou speak clearly to us thy word? Then thou hast said, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we may ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. So direct us as we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.